This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a great day. I'd love your feedback on this story. The AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text is open for you at 877-881-1053. We have the Pro Football Focus Power Rankings open. Cowboys fans. Now, we know we want an amazing draft pick. We also like Cowboys wins. And I'm a big Tank guy, tanking the season, that is. I like Tank Lawrence as well. But when it comes to these kind of situations, 9 times out of 10, I want to see the team lose. I think there are games against the Eagles. I'll tell you what changed my mind on this. Listening to that damn Howard Eskin with Sean Sharif this morning, he was just reveling in the fact that the Cowboys are so terrible and the Eagles are going to whack this team and they're going to win the division and they're going to continue to show that they're the better team and they can overcome adversity more. And listening this morning, I don't know if anybody else heard it, but it got my hackles up. And it made me say, damn it, you know what? The Cowboys can go ahead and finish 3-13 or 4-12. They're going to have a top five, top six pick. They're probably going to keep Dak anyway. So get the linebacker, get the corner, Sir Tanner Parsons, and move on. But damn it, let's go ahead and beat the Eagles a couple of times.
Nope.
Because when you're in the middle of a sports season, you need something to hang your hat on. You need something to feel good about. And you can't just turn into a loser franchise. If you can win this one, I think it will speak to Mike McCarthy's ability to steady the ship and overcome adversity. So that's where I'm at. And we'll get into these Pro Football Focus power rankings. Yeah, you want that. You got to have something.
That would worry me. If he's able to right the ship with the Nooch behind center, he'll right the ship too far with Dalton behind center. What if they accidentally win the freaking division, Gavin? You ever think about that? What if you have to play in the playoffs? You ever think about that? What if you win the Super Bowl?
If they go out and beat the Eagles and have success against Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, you're saying that with the Nooch and Zeke and Zach Martin, they would have hit on something that could fuel them to potentially 6 or 7 wins once Dalton is back? I mean, I'll consider that. I've seen an awful lot of bad football, though, and I think a win here would be nothing more than catching lightning in a bottle, probably getting Carson Wentz. The only thing that would worry me about the division at this point would be Wentz getting hurt, and that's possible.
That is, it's always possible. Always.
But even then, aren't New York and Washington even significantly better than this Cowboys team? You're just talking about temporarily spoiling the Eagles' plans and maybe moving from like the 3rd pick to the 4th or 5th pick.
I'll tell you reckless.
What, yeah, the Giants, I mean, the Giants were a great, I mean, Garrett actually made a great call to get the ball to Ingram. I mean, if they hit that, it's game, set, match right there if that one hits. I mean, yeah, that's why I think that, you know, yesterday at Crosstalk, I was talking about the football team, and the Eagles could very well be playing for the division at that last game.
All right. All right. It is the G-Bag Nation here, and I look up at your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 877-881-1053. Please leave your name and city you're texting from, unless the language you're using would embarrass your mother, and then we'll go ahead and leave that out. I do want to say maybe the Cowboys fan has lost its appetite for a rivalry. I'm calling you out, Cowboys fans. Maybe you've just been on top. You don't have any hate in your heart. I don't know if you really hate the Eagles, because if you did, you wouldn't lose to them or sign up to lose to them with any sort of benefit. But here, 214, bleep a win, lose out. Elsewhere, the 214, lose all the games. Don't care about beating the Eagles.
Shut
Let
up!
Them have the later draft pick. I can deal
Get
with losing to the Eagles this season. I'd rather beat them in the future. I do like the long-term approach. But what do you say about this, Brian? You're a lifelong Cowboys fan. Have we lost our appetite for the rivalry against some of these NFC East teams? Are we just looking at them like they're anybody else and it's all transactional? Just get the better pick. It doesn't matter if you get housed by every division rival you have in the course of a season.
Yeah, when I was growing up a fan, we didn't have talk radio. We didn't have really intelligent people telling you, hey, it's about the team building. It's about the picks. It's about building your team in the right way and, you know, not going out there and just saying, oh, we're it's a rivalry, we're good enough, we could do this, they're bad, to, you know. No, it really is. It's about trying to build this thing long term. And I think that's the thing that it was always a rivalry. The Reds, The football team was our biggest rival when I was growing up with the Cowboys. But now the Eagles, I mean, there's a lot of hate there. But I think the fan is educated now. It's like, listen, we're not good enough. We can't beat them. You know, let's lose all the games. It's about getting the picks. It's about the team building. Let's go off and do this another time when we have better weapons and better opportunities to compete. I think the fans more educated now than, say, back in the day with that.
I think that's a really good point, Brian. You know, and you know that education is really what we've needed this organization to get locked into. You know, taking that long term view.
No.
Do you think that will ever settle in, or is it in the process of hitting there?
Yeah. See, that I think that it's really hard when you're in that chair and you're thinking about, man, I just, you know, I might lose my job if we don't win enough games. You know, yeah. I might, you know, so you're fighting to win every single game. You know, tanking is not in your thoughts. But when you get outside and look at it for the big picture, okay, it's absolutely the right thing to do.
That definitely makes sense. 972, do whatever it takes to beat Philadelphia. It's worth the extra win, even though I am in favor of tanking this year. 469, hey, G-Bag, how can an unemployed disabled veteran, Tolo, get one of those G-Bag flags? I'll make sure you get one myself, sir. If you could shoot me some sort of a direct message on social media, Facebook, Twitter, GBAG_Nation on Instagram, whatever it takes there. At 877-881-1053, never lose to the damn division, especially the Eagles out of the 817. There's some passion. Lose out, Gavin, out of the 817. Get in a fight with Washington. That's the priority right now.
Oh, yep. Got to get a little payback there. Yep. That's true.
For taking out Dak?
Well, no, for
Dalton,
taking out Andy.
Dalton. Yeah. Lostick, yeah.
Yeah, next time out there, Zach's going to break somebody.
Thanksgiving Day, you got that opportunity coming up.
Walton Waco, after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, just kind of killed it for me. Once I couldn't say they've never won one and never will, I just died a little inside. 254 Walton Waco, that's a damn Eagles fan. You think you're flying under the radar with a text like that? Oh, it was just, I was a lifelong Cowboys fan, and I just was devastated when I witnessed the Eagles winning the ultimate prize. I died a little inside. Get out of here, Eagles fan. You might be able to get that trash through a Philadelphia sports talk radio show. Not here in the nation, though. All right, you guys want these rankings? Thanks for your feedback.
I just died in your arms tonight. It must have been something to say.
Yeah, the rankings. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number one. Okay, well, first of all, projected win total here. They got the Cowboys down at 27. That's way too high. This is the worst team in the NFL.
It's way too high.
I think there's numbers that Pro Football Focus is using from earlier in the year when Zach and Tyron and Dak were playing and they're putting them into the computer. They need to kick those numbers out and just look at what happened the last 2 weeks.
It's what you've done, Gavin. You're a two-win team. There's seven teams with one or zero. You were way out in front.
They got their projected win total at 5.8. I would move that down probably to 3.8. I think there's a chance they win two more games.
Both against the Eagles.
yeah, out of just pure spite. Or maybe Wentz gets hurt too. That's coming. Playoff odds at 28%. It's way too high. Unless you're doing the NFC East could be won with five wins. I think 28% is way too high. Highest graded player right now is the offensive guard, Zach Martin, who most likely is going to return this week. Below the Cowboys, football team, better. We just saw that, way better.
Yeah.
Bengals are way better, right? They're going to beat up the Cowboys here in a month or so.
I think the Bengals are better, yeah.
They've lost a ton of close games. That's a shame, but yeah, I think they're better.
I mean, you can play close games. That's step one.
Yeah. You're competitive.
Yeah. Giants at 30, better. You're not so sure.
The quarterback messes it up for them.
The Cowboys don't have a quarterback.
No, I know, but
you would love to have Daniel Jones.
Neither does the Big Blue. Now that guy, he has no awareness in the pocket. I was watching that tape. My gosh, please
Giants
stop!
Doesn't even
better.
Have awareness running open down
no,
the field.
The guy's better. Wide open. Just lay it on him, man. Don't
they project the Jags at 3.5 wins and the Jets at 2.4 wins?
Oh.
Are those teams are better than the Cowboys, aren't they?
Jets could beat the Cowboys tomorrow.
But what happens when Dalton comes back?
Well, if you
with Joe Flacco quarterbacking, I'm just saying if with Dalton, I mean with Sam, I don't know.
I think with – this is so dumb. We're talking about what it takes to beat the worst team in football. With Martin, Cheeto, and Dalton, you could beat the Jets.
Could, yeah.
You lost to them last year with all your players, though, with the exception of the wide receivers, right?
Yeah, Mark Cooper and Tyron Rod, I think.
That was Chris Richard's fault. Now you got a great D coordinator.
By the way, he's on Jane's and Bobby Belt's podcast this week, Chris Richard. That might be interesting.
Ooh.
Might be an interesting listen.
Might have to pull some cuts from that.
Yeah.
Punch him up here for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the Jets and Jags do fail that bad and they have zero wins, I could see the Cowboys still finishing ahead of them. I expect the Cowboys currently to have the third overall pick in the NFL draft, and that might be the sweet spot that eliminates some of that discussion around Fields or Lawrence. Because if you're third, you're like, okay, we're taking the tackle or the linebacker, right? Or maybe a corner makes enough of an impression to be in the conversation there.
Oh, that's where Captain Trade Down rides.
Or Captain Trade Down, yeah.
Let's go.
But we're not. Would we be doing Captain Trade Up, you know, give up a future one to move up one or two spots? I do not think so.
No.
All right. Mm. Top team in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus
here.
And their projections is the Kansas City Chiefs at 12.6. Their playoff odds currently at 99%.
So in other words, if somebody were to say that were the number one team in the AFC, they would be right, is what you're saying?
Well, if you wanted to depend on the numbers too much for your judgment.
Who trusts these bums?
I'm just asking, you know? I remember the flack
hanging
I caught.
Hang your hat on that.
You guys trying to put the Steelers in front of the Chiefs because of their record.
No, they're a better team.
Their defense?
They're not a better team!
Trust the tape, Jeff.
Oh.
You want to trust last year's Super Bowl results.
How about Tennessee makes a field goal and you lose in overtime?
Sometimes
Pittsburgh.
It takes a little luck to be really good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Patty is going to put you guys in your place.
I mean, do we say the Bills might have been better than the Cowboys? No.
Bills might have. No. No, we don't. No.
4-6-9, destroy the Eagles. I want to hear their morning show complaining. Justin from Forney. That's a good takedown there, Justin and Forney. Just down 80 for me a little bit. Traffic's
thick. They'll
be
mad if they win. Who cares? They're Philadelphia.
I'll be so sad.
They'll be mad.
On the postgame show, me and Ari will be like, oh, my gosh, can you believe they did that? And Ari will be all excited about the win, and I'll be like, oh, God, can you believe that?
And in Philly, they'll be like, can you believe this bum only beat them by 27?
Yeah.
The stinking Cowboys, you can't beat them by 30? Oh, my goodness. Fire the GM. Wentz. Put Hurts. Hurts would have beat him by 30. Hurts would have done it.
Yeah.
This team is atrocious. That's what they'll do if they win 27-0.
Yeah, that's exactly what a significant portion of the fan base is doing already. They'd be better with Hurts is a very legit take from about a third of the Eagles fan base right now. They got the Ravens at 2 on 11.9 wins. They say offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley's their highest graded player so far.
Mm.
Tampa Bay number 3.
Yeah.
Tampa!
With Tom Don't Call Him Shady Brady, their top-rated player at 91.6. How do you like them apples, Jeff? What's that? You coming around maybe to my take that these grades on quarterbacks are more a reflection of the overall passing game and not the player? Does that sound a little bit more appetizing to you now?
I don't know. I think Tom Brady's 16th in QBR, so if he's middle of the road, yeah, it's about right. Fairly washed.
He is the top-rated player on Pro Football Focus there with a 91.6. Perhaps more sophisticated numbers than old QBR there.
I doubt it.
That was an upgrade, but that QBR is about 15 years old now at this point. I might be underselling it, too. Might be a 20-year-old stat.
Never trusted that Pro Football Focus.
Steelers are 4th, Packers at 5th, Seahawks 6th. Oh, how the mighty have fallen a little bit there. Russell Wilson rocking a 94.9. There's no denying that number. That's an accurate number right there.
Through 3 picks this week. Might be a bum.
Saints at 7, their best player, David Onyemata, the defensive lineman at 86.4.
Wow.
Mm. Titans at 8, Niners at 9. The Niners are back. Are they selling you? Do you believe in the Niners? They had 2 good weeks, right?
Beat the Rams.
And they just won by 100, and their quarterback didn't even throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yes, they were super beat up to start the year. They're getting people back. They'll be in the playoffs.
All righty. There you have it, your Pro Football Focus power rankings here in the G-Bag Nation. Thanks for your feedback on the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. We have all of your Cowboys news of the day. There were two more releases, and there's a lot of momentum with other situations. And we'll recap all that for you and more coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday afternoon. I was just scrolling along on the G-Bag Nation's Instagram page.
You were probably right at that first time, trolling along.
I wasn't trolling. I was about to do a little trolling, yeah. But I was scrolling through. And it's cool. On this account, we just follow everybody. So if you follow GBag_Nation, if you have yours where you got to get it approved, we'll request it or just follow you instantly. And it's cool to sit back there and see everybody getting ready for Halloween and the holidays and making all this delicious barbecue. You guys are living your best lives out there, it does appear. And again, thanks for making us part of your day. Now, every day at this time, we have the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. And by the way, I want to see your new G-Bag Nation flags on social media, so please tag us and follow us, and we'll follow you right back. And we salute you and thank you for that support for us and the Sons of the Flag. But quite a bit of Cowboys news today. It started off with Don Terry Poe and Daryl Worley being released. What do you guys think they have in mind here? Is it just that younger players can do just as good?
Yeah, I think what happened is the season is mostly lost and not necessarily lost. But if you're going to make it, Daryl Worley's not going to help. Don Terry Poe is not going to help. So whoever the next man up is, especially in a scenario where he's probably not worse than the guy he's replacing, move on from the older guys, put in the guys that might have a future with you, and let's play football.
Yeah, Jeff's absolutely right. This is about kind of clearing the decks for some guys to maybe that weren't active during these times. Now you can get some guys like, okay, they've been practicing well enough, they're young, let's go with it.
More reps, more snaps, maybe there you go. You know, they get that experience, and you know, it's a matter of confidence or something that's unlocked for them. They have a light bulb come on. The other move though that maybe got even more talk was they've added a quarterback, Cooper Rush. He is back, the former Cowboys back up to Dak Prescott, has joined the practice squad. Do you think there's a chance he's better than DiNucci? Absolutely. Is there a chance he's also better than Andy Dalton?
No. No. DiNucci, yes. Dalton, no. Like, DiNucci is such an unknown, which is actually what makes it interesting to watch him play this weekend. Because who knows? They're not going to be able to block for him. He's going to be under siege. And let's see, Mr. James Madison, what do you got? But I have no interest in seeing Cooper Rush ever because I've seen it and there's nothing there. So with DiNucci, at least I have the idea of, hey, what if? Look, the Cowboys have gotten luckier than maybe anyone. Can anyone match their last two franchise quarterbacks, UDFA and fourth round comp pick? Can any team match that level of luck with your franchise quarterbacks?
You got Andrew Luck right as the Peyton Manning career was ending. That was lucky.
Yeah.
That's 1-1.
Yeah.
I'm talking UDFA, fourth round.
Oh, the level where you got him.
Yeah.
Right.
The Cowboys' last two franchise quarterbacks, anybody in the league could have had him 50 times over if they were interested, and nobody was, and they got super lucky. So,
indeed. Or seven, good. So or good.
Okay, or good. Well, if you were good, you would have picked him earlier. You wouldn't have waited that long.
But why? Why would you use that third or second or first?
Oh, on a Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't know, Gavin.
Yeah, we'll just wait for Jason Witten to come to us.
So with the Nooch, there's this little tiny sliver of, hey, what if the Nooch is a baller? It's happened to the Cowboys before, but that doesn't exist with Cooper Rush, so I have no interest in seeing him.
And I don't know if you got anything in DiNucci or Garrett Gilbert that you want to see. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought in Rush, right? They weren't talking about getting another quarterback until practice started. They were like, holy crap. Guys, call Coop.
I think, to me, Rush is more about Dalton, but I have no inside info on that. It just makes me think because he can't play this weekend.
Right.
He won't clear the protocols. So Rush is a guy that's about next week. And next week, why would you need a fourth quarterback?
Well, if they think that DiNucci is going to go down this week too. It's kind
or
of
the concussion's really bad.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
They might be.
Dalton's
not
going to be available. What if they're going to have two QBs in a practice squad.
Yeah, what if they don't block well enough this week? They might need another quarterback.
Yeah.
I think both things could be true. I mean, DiNucci rolling out, it's really hard to get an understanding of how fast that backside is coming to pursue you. And I could just see him getting folded up there, rolling out and looking downfield. Where is it? Where is it? Boom! Bye-bye, Nuke.
I don't know. The kid's got some swagger to him, though. I mean, just talking to some folks over there, like, yeah, this guy, this guy's kind of, I mean, I'm just interested. I don't know any more than that.
Last kid that had swagger was Ryan Switzer.
Yeah.
Didn't do him much good.
Not at all.
No, but I hear you. I hope DiNucci has swagger, and I hope he's got an ability to have that awareness and, you know, make people miss with his feet at this level, because I really think he's going to need it. It would be exciting to watch, you know, if we got a wild-ass sort of feel where, you know, you just Texas Tech it. We're not going to block. We're going to roll out and whip it around. Sounds fun. Cowboys right guard Zach Martin said he is confident he will be ready to go Sunday at the Eagles. Missed one game with his concussion, just the second miss of his NFL career. The expectation is that he is going to start at right guard, but he said, I'm going to do anything the team needs me to do. And it kind of sounds like Mike McCarthy could be open-minded to playing around with that best five out there. Do you guys expect that now?
I mean, he talked about it at the press conference. You know, I remember a few weeks back when we were wondering if they would move people around, and Zach Martin that week said, I'm a guard. I'm playing guard. Guard. And this week he didn't say that. And Mike McCarthy at his presser said, we don't know if we have the five that we want to, you know, so we're going to look at multiple looks. So, I don't know. Maybe he's going to stay at right guard where he's a monster, or maybe he's going to play right tackle where I think he'll be a monster. And for the sake of having Connor McGovern on the field instead of Terrence Steele, I hope that Zach Martin plays tackle. If you want to develop an offensive lineman, wouldn't you rather it be your third? Was he a third or fourth round pick, McGovern?
He was a third round pick.
But they had him graded as
second
a two.
Round. Yeah, 1-2-0 was, or 1-2-1 was the grade, yeah.
Would you rather have your second round graded guy or your undrafted free agent developing?
Yeah, but
I'll take the second round graded guy.
Yeah, but they're going to keep with this. I have a feeling they're going to keep with the right tackle with Steele, and Martin's going to play right guard. That's just my gut feeling.
DiNucci's going to die.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to know for next year, maybe Zach Martin can go out there and play tackle really well in the event?
Oh, no, I'd absolutely. I think even having Sanat or somebody else, Mills, somebody else play right tackle. I think you can hold up if you kick Martin out there and put McGovern at guard, let him grow a little more, let him play with an all-pro player next to him. You know, yeah. I mean, I think you can do some good things to kind of help the Nooch. But, man, you put Steele out there, they are going to attack him like they do every single week.
Yeah, and he's not going to strong enough.
And he's not strong enough. He's going to get compressed. And, you know, Brandon Graham, that you'll see 55 in a green jersey all over number 7 all
again,
day.
Again. Yeah. Elsewhere here on the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening, Zach Martin also said it was a learning moment for his offensive lineman teammates when the Andy Dalton injury happens. He did say he think it would be a mistake to believe that anybody on the Cowboys don't love their teammates. And, quote, if it ever comes up again, I think it'll be different. I don't know if I can rule that out, though, you know. I think if you see a teammate that you really like and you're fired up to be with, I mean, Andy Dalton's kind of the new guy. He's been the backup. He's not that inspiring. I think the flat response maybe wasn't because we don't like Dalton or we don't respect him. We just don't know him. We're thinking about other stuff. The first thing that comes to our mind is, crap, another quarterback's hurt, not there's a guy that I've been bleeding with and sweating with for the last 5 years that just took a cheap shot. I can't totally rule it out that there's sort of indifference to the backup quarterback, and I'm much more worried about me than any sort of team stuff going on right now. But I'll take Zach's word for it.
That might be true for an unproven or a young guy, but I bet you if the Nooch gets hit late, Zach Martin's laying that dude
out.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Now that it's become such a story. Yeah, because now it's a reflection on you, and people are going to look at you like you're a P-word, you know, and nobody wants to be that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be a coward. Okay, elsewhere here in the C-Note, lowest graded running backs in Week 7, number 32 is Ezekiel Elliott. Are we starting to think here that it's fallen off and the offensive line is shielding us from what should be a real evaluation of this guy? I mean, this is bad. If you don't got an offensive line, fine. But to be that horrible, not making anybody miss, not doing – that was a particularly bad game for Zeke. Maybe he's on a tough run. But what do you guys think about that premise, that maybe the lack of offensive line is protecting Zeke from some criticism that very much could be there?
I mean, I still think he's a good runner. I think this year what he's got, well, I mean, those things are very real. He's not an elusive runner. He's lost the ability to pop really big plays because he's not an elusive runner. He's a power back. But, I mean, I think he's running the ball well. It's just fumbles. If you're fumbling all the time, I guess you can't say you're running it well because you're not holding on to it, which is step one. But, no, I don't – I think he's close to what he was a year ago. It's weird because he's different than the guy who came in the league. The guy who came in the league was an incredible athlete. The guy who came in the league could make you miss, could outrun you, could run over you, could run around you, could jump over you. The guy that is playing now is a power guy who is less athletic. But I don't think the line's covering anything up. I think he is what he is. It's just the fumbles that are killing him.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that maybe with the lack of the offensive line that he would be the difference maker, that he would be able to kind of like, oh, okay, well, he's going to make up for not having perfect blocking and stuff. But it just when you don't get a backside cutoff, you don't get the scoop blocks, all those blocks, those you see, you know, here he's trying to run and then guys are getting him from behind or guys at the point of attack right there where they hand him the ball are getting him. So I do know this, though. I was encouraged, though, by what the Giants were able to do against Philadelphia last week with Wayne Gallman running the ball and stuff like that. And, I don't know if the Giants' offensive line, I mean, they've got a couple of guys that are decent. But, man, you know, that would be my hope if I'm the Cowboys that, hey, maybe you can get Zeke going, you know, with the – because the Eagles, you know, they gave up some big yards last week in their game.
Well, there have been some games, you know, with Martin coming back now where you're seeing decent runs pop. I just wonder if Zeke's strengths don't line up with what the team needs right now. You know, you need elusiveness, and why not try some more Tony Pollard?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I just thought he was going to be better. He was going to make up for a poor offensive line, and that just might not be the case.
Because backs do that, right?
Yeah.
Say, well, you don't have an offensive line, so that's why you're under 4 yards per carry.
Right.
I would say I pay my running back to create situations when the space can't be created for him. Otherwise, you go right back to, you know, one of Jeff's main talking points is that most running backs can't create value on their own. They need a lot of help from their teammates to create that value. So what to me, I'd say the biggest Zeke fans out there right now, you got to be really honest with it. Well, you don't have an offensive line, so your player is the worst starting running back in the NFL right now.
Well, you're going to see 10 in the box this week. Get ready. I mean, he's not. I mean, the Eagles are not going to let him run the ball.
I do like this from the 214, and that's a really good point. I mean, why would you? Unless
make Nuge beat you.
Go
yeah.
out,
make Nuge
put up
beach.
17 points at half. He says, I've seen Zeke breathing hard on the sidelines the last few weeks, just saying he did have COVID. Maybe there's after effects going on that nobody knows about yet.
That is not the last few weeks. That's the last few years.
Yeah.
Zeke is helmet tap guy.
Yeah, his cardio isn't the best.
I got the ball three times, helmet tap. Who's coming to get me?
806, Zeke's the type of personality that once he gets what he needs, he's done pushing himself, and that is what happened. We paid him, and now he's going to go coast. But he was coasting before he got paid.
Person doesn't know what he's talking about. He's projecting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, I thought Zeke was just a tremendous athlete who was an awesome football player and a tremendous competitor. And was awesome. And, you know, as his athleticism of his early 20s started to wane, I don't think he really stepped in and was like, I'm going to work hard to make sure I get back to that level. He was like, I'm still really dang good. Pick up a newspaper. Isn't that what he said in the offseason? Y'all are just haters with Sean and RJ?
Yeah,
was during training camp, right?
Check the stats.
Yeah, I mean, he's still been really good. I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's one of those things where you come into a career, you're playing well, and then you hit some adversity like this right here, and it does change your course of action or your preparation. But, heck, I don't know. You know, the way that he runs the ball, trying to take 300-pound guys and go, rah, I'm going to pull you 3 yards, that's exhausting, boy. That's a lot more difficult than – you know, getting out there in space. Again, I don't mean to bring this up all the time, but Jerry would talk about the job of a defensive lineman. You could only really do that with max effort like 12 times a game because you're trying to push over a 300-pounder, spin off him. And even though it's 4 seconds, it's such an explosion of strength and energy, you only have so many in the tank. So if you run the football like that as a running back, no doubt you're going to be exhausted. The red nose is a little suspicious, too.
What are you trying to say about
that? Usually the red nose starts popping up in 50-something old males who've been hitting the scotch for the majority of their adult life. The red nose is weird.
Oh, I thought it was the allergies. Are you putting me on game? Oh, I thought you were rubbing his nose. No, allergies.
Yeah, it could be allergies. Yeah, it could be that.
Scratching all the time. But, you know, you might be putting me on game.
I may or may not have been called out for my red nose a few times there. My early 30s. Picking that bad boy up a little bit too early, you know? There's a cause and effect there. Anyway, it is the G-Bag Nation, and we have one more segment to go. We're going to find out what's coming up with the nosebleed seats. We'll Chuck and Chia follow. We have Cowboys Crosstalk 7 to 8 for you as well. But, yeah, we'll Chuck and Chia follow next, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram here on The Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys. We have Cowboys Crosstalk coming up from 7 to 8 right here on The Fan. And then nosebleed seats, the bleeders. They're coming up. We'll Chuck and Chia follow from 8 to 11 right here on The Fan. And a good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
He's
how you
in
doing?
The building!
Good afternoon. Wonderful. Good afternoon. Had some delicious broadish chili. We're doing fantastic.
Got some good stuff.
How many alarms on that chili, Brian?
That was a two-alarmer.
Okay.
Two-alarm.
Bad.
Yeah.
What do you use to spice up the chili? Is it just chili powder?
Yeah, I think
cayenne?
I think you could always with the chili powder, you can kind of that's how you can control the level of it.
Okay.
You know, and the guys up here, everybody likes, you know, spicy hot food, so
yeah.
I just go with a whole big pinch of it there to make it work.
Now, do you go saltine crackers, Ritz crackers, or none of the above inside
Fritos.
The chili?
Fritos. I'm a big fan of the Frito pie. So
yeah.
What we do is you put the you have the Frito base, and Lucius even added chili Fritos to his. So, you know, now...
Yeah, that was a heady play, Lucius.
I learned something today. Instead of using just regular Fritos, use the chili Fritos, put the chili on top, then I brought the cheese, the onions, and then you kind of mix it all up.
You should wait to see what I do at nachos.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw you tweet out that your final meal or your only meal for the rest of time, if you had to choose one, would be Margs and nachos in that order.
Absolutely, man.
So what's your nacho secret?
Doritos on the nachos. Oh. Nacho cheese Doritos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't too deep. Yeah. I should have strung that out a little longer, right?
Yeah, my bad. Trademark that, Lucius.
Can we all agree that they should be building the nachos outward and not upward so we could get more coverage with the cheese and the goods?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I've seen people do nachos. They call them trash can nachos, and they take... You know, General, you know, and Jeff, you know how they have those, you could put the charcoal, those chimney, to start like on your barbecue pit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, they put those kind of containers, take the middle of it out, and then put like chips, like build it in layers, like build the nachos in layers, and then you take the thing off, and it makes it almost like a tube. Instead of being flat, it's like the nachos are built straight up. So it's
like,
a pretty interesting way of doing it.
Trash
can nachos is what they call it.
As long as you're getting enough cheese layer to layer.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Beans or whatever the ingredient is. But there's nothing worse than taking off that initial layer of chip and cheese and whatever you like on there, pico, guacamole, and then you get down to a layer that's just more chips.
Right.
And you're like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, that's when you get down to the end, too, of a plate of nachos and there's not the coverage. You need more.
You need more coverage,
and you're just eating the chip, and you're like, this is a plain chip. Yeah, this is not getting it done.
But on a day like this, it's damn near winter. That chili must have hit the spot.
It was amazing.
We got Philly cheesesteaks tomorrow here with the real cheese whiz.
The real cheese whiz.
We're going cheese whiz tomorrow.
How about it? Now, you've expanded this program, brought us. It used to just be Friday nights, right?
Well, actually, because I'm out Friday.
What are you trying to do, Dawson?
I might be trying to come back into work.
This is an everyday thing, Dawson.
I'm out Friday. I'm out Friday, but so, yeah, we're gonna move up our Friday day lunch for Thursday tomorrow.
All right.
That's what we're going to do.
A little high school football for the program.
Yeah, there you go.
Friday night.
There you go.
Well, I hear you, man. If the kids plan, nothing is going to stop me from getting there to check that out.
Yeah.
Now you go fresh onions, right, with the chili? Is that how? Yeah, you usually
dice them. Yeah, small dice, yeah. General, is what you do there. You don't want them too chunky, too big, you know. But you want to give people the opportunity to put it on themselves. You don't want to over onion something. Some people just don't like onions.
I like how you did that as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you make your own Frito pie. Is what I'm gonna do.
See, I would tell my mom that all the time, and she'd be putting onions in there, and she, you can't tell. Oh, they cook down.
No, you could tell. You could tell. You could tell.
If you're not an onion person, you can find each and every one of those.
The flavor. You could tell by the flavor. Yeah.
Okay, what do you guys have planned for your show?
Were you traumatized by that? Did your mom make you eat the chilies with the onions?
Yeah. You will eat it, Kevin Dawson, before you get off this table.
Well, she would let me pick it out, but everything on my plate had to be gone, or I couldn't have dessert.
Mm. Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, then she wondered why I was a doughy 14-year-old. Gee, Gabby, do some push-ups. I got to eat all my dinner and then have dessert afterwards.
And a workout.
So, what's coming up on the show, gentlemen?
9 o'clock every hump night, we have Dalton Miller on. So we'll chat with Dalton. And at 8:40, I've got the Wooly Bully Wednesday Power Rankings. I will give my NFL top 10 power rankings, how I see them stacking up in the National Football League. And Eric likes to poo on it.
Yeah, I do.
Every week. But I think last week you enjoyed it quite a bit.
No, I did. And it's the only power rankings that that really hold the water. These are the most highly anticipated power rankings each and every week of the football season, man. The Wooly Bully Football Power Rankings.
I like that.
Hey, and I don't want to be too controversial here, guys, but I do want to go out there and just put this on the record. I think the knowledge splash is even greater than the knowledge bomb. I mean, I love driving around and getting splashed on.
Okay,
boys.
We know who did that.
No, I wish I could take the credit. I wish I could take the credit. I love the freaking knowledge splash.
Way to tell
man.
On yourself there, sir.
This sounds like a Sean Sharif and Troy Hughes production to make that knowledge bomb disappear. But I got to tell you, the splash is growing on me, too.
I'm a splash guy.
I do it for the ladies, man. It's for the ladies.
Yeah. Hey, guys, have you heard that we might have the first forfeiture of a game? The Big Ten?
This Wisconsin-Nebraska deal.
Yeah, Wisconsin. They call it a no contest. Wisconsin had to cancel this weekend coming up. Nebraska might get a win out of this.
Well, good for Nebraska. They need all the help they can get.
You get drilled at Ohio State, but next week you get a win.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, last night we talked about it. Wisconsin's in a world of trouble. They're down to their fourth-string quarterback because their starter got hurt, out for the year. Then their true freshman went out and balled out, went 21-22, but he's got COVID. Then
the
backup
head coach
got COVID.
Has got COVID,
now
too.
The head coach has COVID, and the Big Ten has the rule they have to sit out for 21 days.
Right.
Unless it's the championship game, and then you're good to go, right? Isn't that the new rule?
Or unless you're the Dodgers. Yeah. Or a Dodger
if you're the Dodgers, it's fine. Yeah. Get in, get out. We pulled you out. Now go out and celebrate. It's fine. Get everybody else sick.
Yeah, but
no
Wisconsin's got a pretty good team. I mean, they were talking about them being a potential playoff team.
Well, they would have steamrolled Nebraska.
Yeah.
So that's a big win for the Huskers.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you guys willing to trade anybody not named Luka and Kristaps off the Mavs? That's the report from Brad Townsend. You think the Mavs are doing the right thing there?
We actually
Bobby's the one other untouchable. We don't want Boban going anywhere.
And I don't consider Porzingis to be an untouchable. I would actually like a lot of teams to touch on Mr. Porzingis.
Yeah, you want touch all four there with the Porzingis.
Yeah, all hands on Porzingis there.
Work on that knee a little bit, kind of get an idea
about
it.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I think not that he's not a good player by any stretch, but if I can flip him for some complimentary pieces. I know you guys were chatting about that today. I say absolutely. You've got the thing that matters, and that's Luka. Porzingis is just, I mean, he's kind of along for the ride, if you ask me. I think you could sub out Porzingis for a multitude of other guys and be just fine. So I'm in on that.
Luka and Boban, your untouchables, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we got such an affinity for Boban.
We love Bobby.
He gave Walchuk a birthday shout out. Yeah, the cameo.
Well, just a good guy.
And he's a great human.
And anytime he gets out there, he's productive.
I mean
that plus
minus
dominant. Is unreal.
Gosh.
You right?
Would Luka and Giannis give you enough that it wouldn't even matter if you had Porzingis? Do you agree with what the Low Post podcast was talking about?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love what they said, especially then you certainly can deal Porzingis. Try and go ahead and surround him with some shooters because that's the one thing with Giannis. He's not a great shooter, but what he's going to provide is certainly the defense, and he's another ball handler when Luka either maybe he needs a night off or he's sitting on the bench, gives you a multitude of different layers that you can work with there, but I'm all for it. You go ahead and move KP there, and let's go ahead and surround them with collaborative pieces.
Now, over with the Cowboys here, after an afternoon develop, gentlemen, I believe we're looking at a double ginger situation here with Cooper Rush and Andy Dalton now both in the quarterback room. What do you make of this? Is Rush going to be better than DiNucci and Gilbert there? What do the Cowboys have planned?
I don't think Gilbert's very good, but I don't think Rush is very good. I'd rather just see what DiNucci can do. And look, I mean, that offensive line is scary. I'm feeling for any quarterback that has to go out there and play. But let's ride with DiNucci. Why not? You drafted him. He's McCarthy's guy. Cooper Rush couldn't even move down the field in preseason. How do you think he's going to do in an NFL game with starters out there?
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, youth movement time for sure. These guys that you already know what you have with them, I think it's with every position. Any position that has like a below average player that we already know is that and is probably not going to get any better than that. If he's got a young guy that has better potential, let's just go ahead and get him in there, man. All positions.
All right, here they come. The nosebleed seats, 8 to 11. Cowboys crosstalk live from the Star coming up 7 to 8. Gentlemen, have a great night. We'll be listening.
Appreciate you.
All right, there they are, Woolchuck and Schiafalo. For Brian Broaddus and Jeff Cavanaugh, Lucius Alexander, I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., you're going home with the G-Bag Nation.